So, some 10 o'clock faces are here at 12 noon Mass. I wonder why. How many of you are, this is not your regular Mass? So, good number. But for some reason, going to the Gospel now, for some reason today's Gospel reminded me of that song by the Charlie Daniels Band, Devil Went Down to Georgia. Remember that song? Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. For those who don't know, it's a song about the devil who tried to steal a young man's soul by challenging him to what? A fiddle playing contest. Well, in today's gospel, the devil went down not to Georgia, but went down to the desert to try to steal Jesus' soul. Right? Jesus had just finished 40 days of preparation for his public ministry, praying and fasting. And what did Satan do? He offered him three temptations. Knowing that Jesus was literally starving, he tempted him to turn a stone into bread. But what does Jesus do in retaliation? He comes back at him with words of sacred scripture that one doesn't live by bread alone. Then the devil shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant and offers Jesus all the power that went with it. If only he would bow down and worship Satan. And again, Jesus answers with sacred scripture. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. And so the devil, cunning as he is, he was what? Picking up on Jesus' use of scripture. So for the third temptation, Satan himself uses and incorporates scripture into his temptation. Right? We all know how many times people who are not Christians proof text with the Bible, using sacred scripture to try to prove something that's not there. And you can do that. You can prove anything if you're going to take stuff out of context, because the Bible is so big with so many varying stories. You can proof text. You can, you know, do that with any belief practically. And so what does Satan do? He says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus comes back with scripture once again, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So Jesus engaged in this spiritual warfare with the devil. Friends, Lent is our time in the desert to prepare for our battle with evil in this world. For us to strip away of all that's superfluous and distracting us from the one reason for our existence, which is that twofold commandment of love. To love God with all our heart, soul, might, and strength. In other words, mind and strength. In other words, to love him with all our being. And having tapped into the source of love, we are then empowered to love our family, our friends, and our neighbors as ourselves. To love, in other words, as Jesus loved. That's it, right? If we aren't about that, we risk losing everything. If we are about that, then we gain everything beyond our imagining, both in this world and in the next. And yet, are we really living with such single-minded focus as that right there? Are we falling into the distractions of the world that keeps us from living that life of love, that life of self-giving love? Are we falling for one or more of the three basic temptations with which the devil tempts Jesus, right? To live, number one, for sensual pleasures, symbolized by the bread. Number two, for power, symbolized in the kingdoms of the world. And number three, for glory, symbolized in the dare to Jesus to prove his worth, tempting his pride, right? We know that, like Johnny, Jesus outfiddled Satan. He had just finished 40 days of fortifying his will, his resolve to be single-minded in meaning, in mission and purpose. But what about us? Even as a priest, I know I daily have to fight against the distractions of this world, which is why daily prayer is so important Without it, my day would be wasted away by being unfocused, reacting to things, to all the distractions that come our way. And even with daily prayer, I still need my annual retreat and this season of Lent to get refocused, to get recalibrated. This Lent, by the way, I'm trying something crazy. If I wasn't encouraged and invited by different people, there's no way I would even try it. So back in January, I went to this annual conference for a group of, for which I'm a chaplain. I've mentioned it to you before, Legatus. It's a group of business leaders and top executives, all of whom are Catholic and whose stated mission is to study, to live, and to spread the faith. Well, we were at one of the dinners after a long day of conferences and talks, and I noticed some of the guys I know who weren't drinking at all at the cocktail hour, didn't drink at dinner, didn't even drink at the after party. And I got to talking with a couple of them and come to find out that they're doing this thing called Exodus 90. I asked, well, what's this Exodus 90 I hear about? And when I first heard it, I said, man, that's hardcore crazy, not for me. But they were all having these positive and liberating experiences by doing it. They hadn't realized just how much the sensual pleasures of the world, their phones, their emails, their reading the news, their news feeds on social media, how much all of that had just dominated their life and their time, and keeping them from the most important things in life that they themselves valued. It's almost that they couldn't help themselves. And so Exodus 90 was waking them up to a much simpler and more focused life that they once knew 25 years back, when life was a lot more simple. Think of how different life has become in just one generation. We frogs have been boiling in the pot, if you will, for the last quarter century, enjoying all the great things that computers and phones have provided us, which are many. There's so many things that are so much easier to do now and become more efficient, more convenient with all this great technology. But at the same time, it's come at a heavy cost. We haven't realized how dependent and addicted we have become on it, leading us to live scattered and obsessive lives that are neutering us from living effective, productive, and focused lives focused on the most important things of that sacrificial love for family, for friends, and most importantly, for God and His kingdom. In other words, Satan has outplayed us. He's outfiddled us. He's schooling us with his three temptations. And he is well on his way in stealing many souls if we continue to choose created things over the Creator. So soon after getting back from this conference in January, I got into three separate conversations with three different friends of mine in which this Exodus 90 thing came up again. It's catching on with a number of guys. Even here in Jackson, Father Tim had mentioned to me that a group of young men was doing it there. And I thought maybe I should look into this thing. But then I took a second look at all the commitments again. Said, nah, that still sounds crazy to me. So what exactly are you committing to when you do this Exodus 90 thing? Well, the first thing is prayer. You shoot for doing a holy hour each day, a minimum of 20 minutes in contemplative silent prayer of just listening to the Lord. So that was easy. Some holy hour I do anyway already. But then came a list of ascetical practices. And I read the first one, and it says, take short cold showers. And right then I said, no way. I mean, I have to shave my head, right? I need warm water to prep for shaving this thing of beauty. I don't want nicks all over my noggin. Second, regular exercise at least 3 days a week. And the third one is actually a good thing. Get a full night's sleep. At least 7 hours is recommended. You know, I'm not getting nearly enough sleep, so I love that one. But then it gets ascetical again with a list of things from which you have to abstain for 3 months. Abstain from alcohol. Abstain from desserts and sweets. Abstain from snacking. Abstain from soda and sweet drinks, though milk and unsweetened tea is allowed. Abstain from television and movies, except for faith-based material. Abstain from video games. Abstain from non-essential material purchases. Only listen to music that uplifts your soul. And here's a biggie for tech addicts. Only use the computer and mobile devices for work, school, or essential tasks like paying the bills and stuff. In other words, no internet surfing, no social media. So when you abstain from all these things, guess what? Now you realize just how much time you really do have for prayer. You realize just how much time you really do have to be more attentive and focused on your faith and on your family. Now you realize, and you finally realize that you actually can do that second sign of being a dynamic Catholic, and that is to study the faith. And for these business leaders, they know that you can't effectively spread the faith if you don't do the first two parts of their mission, which is to study the faith and to live it. By the way, this is our last weekend for our covering the second sign of study, right, for the dynamic Catholic. Before we go on to the third sign, the next chapter of four signs of a dynamic Catholic. So we have these half sheets at the end of the pews that recommend two things. So if the people in the end of the pews would offer those to the people in their row, that'd be great. So on the front here is the first recommendation: to be sure to take advantage of our parish subscription to form.org. Thank goodness we don't need a special code anymore to get into it. Sometimes that was too complicated for folks to get the code. You just need to create a username and a password just like everything else. So just visit that website that's listed there, and you will have access to all kinds of great content in studying the faith. And a lot of it is downloadable, so you can listen to it on your commute to work or during your workout, whatever it might be. There is even great content for kids. One of our parishioners' parents was telling me how she relies heavily on the movies and the material on form for her first grader, so that they have, so that she knows that if, you know, it's just in this section that they can, she doesn't have to worry about the content that the kids are exposed to. And on the back of that, you'll find a list of questions that will help you in developing a plan, a battle plan for studying the faith during Lent. Take those questions with you to prayer, or even pray about it now at the Holy Communion, after Holy Communion, on this first Sunday, to commit to sticking to it this Lent. In my bulletin article this week is also a list of suggestions of some elements you may want to include in your Lenten observance this year, because those 40 days from now until Easter Triduum. So back to Exodus 90. I was tempted to consider it for Lent because it's basically a desert experience that puts into practice the first two of those three traditional practices of Lent, which is prayer and fasting, the very things that Jesus did in today's gospel to prepare for his public ministry. But I thought it was still, the commitment was still over the top. With so much abstaining from our usual comforts and diversions, aren't we just setting ourselves up for failure, I thought. But then one of my best friends, darn it, Joe, said, "Father," you know, even though we were living as bachelor housemates together in Ann Arbor before I went into seminary, he still insists on calling me Father. So he said, "Father," he said, "John," a mutual friend of ours, "John and I want to do this Exodus 90 thing for the intention of your, for your priesthood." Our priests have been through the ringer. Those in the world who are opposed to the church are using bad apples to paint all our good priests in a horrible light. It's not fair to you. And so we want to do this Exodus 90 for you and your priesthood. And in order for us too to be better men of God and to be better husbands and fathers for our children. So the last time I used a couple of pictures, many of you said you really liked it because it made the illustration more real to you. So this is this picture up here that will be projected is a picture of Joe and his family. He's the father of 7 kids. I don't think the 7th was in Kristen's womb yet at this time. Kristen's awesome. She graduated from the Ross School of Business at Michigan, so it's one well-run household there. But check out the funny expression of their littlest sitting on Joe's lap. Looks like he's choking his baby. And our other friend, John Cullen, he's a father of 6, married to Maura. And she's the lovely redhead there on the left, who has she has a great blog called Modern Catholic Mom. So encourage the moms out there to check that out. So positive peer pressure, since they said they were doing this for the sake of my priesthood. I mean, how can you resist with an appeal like that? So I reluctantly said, okay. But the clincher was that each of us was able to have a little caveat to the 90 days. You know, starting tomorrow, by the way, is the 90 days leading up to Pentecost Eve. So the 90 days is essentially 40 days of Lent and then 50 days of Easter. That's just coincidentally coinciding with this whole Exodus 90 thing, because you can start it whenever you want. So John's caveat was, well, this is going to be in the middle of March Madness. I mean, we can't, we're mostly Michigan fans, so last night was a heartbreaker, but it was a great game that lived up to its billing. So the one exception for TV is that we can follow our team for March Madness. For me, I said, okay, what if we could substitute a Navy shower for the cold shower? You know, a Navy shower is when you get wet, turn off the water, lather up, and then turn the water back on again just enough to rinse off. So it's still a short shower. Another guy in our group is a Navy intelligence officer and said he's been doing that for years, so there was no problem. He just got used to it after the service. We also have a Green Beret, by the way, in our group, so hardcore group. But we'll be meeting once a week in the rectory on Monday nights for the next 90 days for prayer, for accountability, and fellowship. So why do I mention this? It's because I want to highlight the importance for each of us to have fellowship, that we can't do this alone. Right? We need fellow members of the mystical body of Christ so that Jesus can minister and support and encourage us through them. Right? That's part of the reason why they're called members of the body of Christ. They are the hands, the feet, the lips of Jesus. So through our brothers and sisters in Christ, we have someone striving to run the race with us, fighting the good fight with us. We can't engage in this battle alone, but we need to engage in spiritual warfare because these temptations, these distractions, these addictions are spiritually killing us and killing our families. But we can't unshackle our chains by ourselves. We need fellow Christians to run side by side with us in this journey. I know, for example, there's no way I would continue to strive even for a week to live up to these Exodus 90 resolutions if there weren't these brothers that were holding me accountable each week. And there's even an app, one of the few things that you can actually look at that has a continual dialogue over it, pressing on, right? As iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens his fellow man, says the proverb. It's only together that we will be able to be that light of the world and the salt of the earth that Jesus wants for us to be and that our broken world needs for us to be. So in conclusion, contact a group of your fellow brothers or sisters in Christ, maybe 2 to 5 people who are striving to fight the good fight as well. Have them listen to this homily on our website and say, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we get a small group together this Lent and Easter season? Let's meet once a week for these 90 days, and you can list out your own set of conditions or commitments. Let's maybe just review the gospel from Sunday before and see how we're doing and putting it into practice in our life. Or let's watch one of Father Mike Schmitz's 8-minute videos or talk or one of the numerous presentations on form.org that you can just stream right there when you get together once a week and discuss that and talk about what's going on, what else is going on in our lives as we strive to run the race. Maybe all your friends are not Christians, or at least they're not making it a priority. Well, then get some. It's easy. Just call Todd Gale at the parish office or check out our bulletin. We have a number of small groups up and running that are hosted by a number of our parish representatives. So join one of those small groups, even if it's just for Lent. We need to go to the desert and prepare ourselves for battle, just as Jesus did. That's why we do the St. Michael the Archangel prayer at the end there. But we can't do so alone. We need the body of Christ, who is Jesus. Jesus, we need both Jesus in the Eucharist and Jesus who is in our brothers and sisters in Christ.